The answer is that there was a deficiency in the sidq. He was reading namaz with ikhlas. He was making the postures also correctly. But there was no sidq, meaning the correct etiquette of the salah, the tranquility that's supposed to be found in the different arkan of the salah, that was not there. Khushu is something that is connected to the heart, concentration, the heart. And then we get khudu. One is we make wudu before namaz. But in namaz there must be khushu and there must be khudu. So khushu is connected to the heart. The heart must be in namaz, not only the body. The heart must also be in the salah. And then khudu, this is connected to the parts of the body. That there must be sukoon, there must be tranquility in the physical body as well. So there must be serenity. It mustn't be that the person is reading namaz and now while he's standing, then he's scratching, then he's playing with his topi, then he's doing something else. So that goes against khudu. That he's not concentrating. He doesn't have presence of heart, presence of mind. That is why with his body he's doing all these things. So if a person is moving around in the namaz, is shaking, is going side to side, is hopping from one leg to the other leg, then this is all contrary to the tranquility of the body. The body is supposed to be in a tranquil state while the person is reading salah. For example, the hands are moving here and there, doing this and that. In qiyam, ruku and sajda, the eyes are not focused where it's supposed to be. When a person is in a standing posture, then he's supposed to be looking at the place where he's going to make sajda. Right? The person is in a ruku, he's supposed to be looking at his, where his feet are. The person in the sajda, he's supposed to be looking in his lap. When he's making salam, he must look on the shoulder, not looking Daba Zabantu in the back. Some people, they're making salam, they're busy taking roll call, marking the register, everything, checking now. Who came, who never come, and how many people missed, how many rakats, all, everything they're checking. So that, there's no need for us to do all that. That shows there's no presence of heart and mind in that salah. So the different postures, if it is performed hurriedly, the person one day, as Mohammed Fateh Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one person came to meet him. He was in Durban, so he came to meet Hazrat. So he's telling Hazrat, you don't remember me. So now, you know, if you're giving a bayan and there's 100 people there, 200 people, they're all only looking at one speaker. The speaker is looking at 200 people. Now I don't remember each person. So anyway, this person asked Hazrat, he said, no, you don't remember me, you came to our town. So Hazrat said, no, man, I don't recall. He said, man, you know, they called me the fastest kid in town. The fastest. So what is, he read the fastest namaz. Hazrat used to say, up, down, kiss the ground, back to town. So if a person is reading namaz in that manner, then there is no tranquility in that namaz. It's just suddenly, just like a hen pecking at grain, is making sajda like that, one sajda, up, down, up, down. What type of salah is that? So when a person is moving, he comes into a posture. So his body must remain motionless in that posture. A person comes up from one sajda. Now that jalsa is a posture. So his body must be motionless in that posture. Right? Then he moves to the next. In fact, In that posture we are supposed to be reading a dua. Most people don't read the dua. Allahumma kfirli, warhamni, wahdini, wa'afini. We're supposed to be reading that dua in jalsa. So now, sometimes a person doesn't even sit properly. Just coming up and is gone down again. So that jalsa is not a yield sign, it's a stop state. Not a yield sign, just come. No, it's a proper stop. You've got to sit, become motionless there, read the dua, and then proceed for the next sajda. So if a person doesn't read like this, then it is contrary to sidq. It's contrary to sidq. So he did not carry out the laws according to their specified etiquettes and levels. Right? So this is why this sahabi was told to repeat his namaz. So the question arises that this was a sahabi. Now how come he didn't have that level of khushu and khuzu in his salah? So the answer to this is given that he had just accepted Islam. He was a new Muslim, he just accepted Islam. So he was reading the salah according to the amount of ilm that he had at that time. Right? Now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam educated him further, so now he would improve on his salah and read it now with sidq. So when a person doesn't have the sidq, then a person will do things haphazardly. Just anyhow, any kind. Sometimes you find, just now Ramadan Sharif also will be here, sometimes you'll find a person is reading Taraweeh salah. Every rakat, he's not making takbir with the imam. He's lazing around, talking with a friend. When the imam is about to go in ruku, then he's going. So, it shows that there is no sidq. His heart is not in it. He's doing it as a sense of duty. I got to read this 20 rakats now, just do it. Right? And then unfortunately, Allah Ta'ala, you know, protect us, Allah Ta'ala, you know, that sometime a person, he's got a total disregard for the law of Allah Ta'ala, that a person doesn't even go for Taraweeh. One is a person is going, right? So at least he's got some regard, you know what, this is something that I have to do, so he goes. But then there are deficiencies in the manner in which he is reading. But at least he is going. At least he is going. So if he is going, then slowly, slowly he will improve, inshallah ta'ala. He will improve. And you know, this is why it is very, very important that when people are coming to the masjid, people are coming for, then encouragement must be given. Encouragement must be given. You don't now look for a fault and hammer the person on the fault. You know, when I was in Taqwa, so one bayan was given. Bayan was given on some aspect, right? And now there was one person who had that weakness in him. Now we just came out of the masjid. After Jummah came out of the masjid, and now one person who, he also got his own faults, like how I got my own faults, but this particular thing that was spoken about, he didn't have that fault in him. So now after namaz, come outside the masjid, in front of other musallis, now he's saying loudly. Now you heard, no? Just tell him. Now what happens is, you embarrass a person. You embarrass a person. Now that person, he stops coming to the masjid. There was one brother, he had a bad habit of smoking, not only cigarette, you know, other things. So, he was making tawbah now, he decided to make tawbah, and he started coming to the masjid. When he come to the masjid, now people, hey, check who's here. So, one day one fellow told him, now he used to see the people, you know, everybody's looking, and those days there were not so many people involved in these wrongs. So one day one fellow told him, sometimes you don't want to use these words also, but the person told him something, called him one name, say, what are you doing here? Like, you know. So he stopped coming to the masjid. Now he is not coming to the masjid, he's not justified. But what is our kaam? Our kaam is to draw people closer, people get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Now by our statements and our mannerism, we are chasing a person away, making a person go further away. So what have we achieved? For that moment, our ego got the better of us and we told the person something. But now you turn the person away from the masjid. So we didn't achieve anything. When I was in Quwwatul Islam Masjid, Ginger Road, now you're much younger also, and you know, when you're young then now you've got Josh too, you know. So there was one young brother came into the masjid, and he was wearing a soccer shirt, you know, soccer jersey. And he had what the ladies wear in the ears, you know, earrings. So Allah forgive me. And I saw him like that, you know. In the bayan, I mentioned one, two things to him. But in that week, I had to go to a person who installs radios. You know, it was a zamana when you bought a car, it didn't come with a radio. So to put a radio inside. This youngster was working there. But because of the manner, maybe how I spoke in the bayan or something, he wasn't comfortable. He may have felt like I'm looking down on him or whatever. And in that week, he committed suicide. And I always think to myself that, you know, maybe Allah Ta'ala knows best, but I always think to myself that if there was a softer approach, whatever pareshani he had on his head, whatever problem he had, maybe he would have discussed it. He would have spoken and some advice could have given to him. There was one experience I had. Another thing, there was one brother that used to come to the masjid, and he used to come quite early, and he had his spot, you know, to sit around in the back. He didn't sit in the front, so he sit in the back. But he'd always come early for Jummah, sit in the back. So one day, I had to go to the police station for fingerprints. Not for committing a crime. They were not booking me for some other reason to go for fingerprints. So there was a long queue there, you know. So this person saw me. I didn't even know what was his occupation. He used to come to the masjid. I used to see him in the masjid. So he saw me there. So he came. He said, hey, Mohana, what are you doing here? So I said, no, I needed to do my fingerprints. So I come to my office upstairs. But then I realized he's a CID, you know. So I went upstairs, so he did my fingerprints. But then he's telling me, he said, you know what, make maaf, you know, I don't know how to do this fingerprints properly. I only do fingerprints on stiffs. I'm thinking, what is the stiffs and everything? So then he's explaining to me, he said, no, sometimes we go to a crime scene, there's a dead body there, and you have to do fingerprints. So So he says, now we just have to do a fingerprint on a finger or two, mostly is the thumb. And he's telling me, he says, sometime already the body, you know, rigor mortis sets in, we have to break the finger. You know, to open it, even break the finger. And then we get the print, because now you've got to identify this body. You know? And he's telling me about his work, the type of work he does. The next Jummah, I saw him in the masjid. I'm thinking to myself that, you know what, a person coming to the masjid is coming, even if he's coming once a week, right? He's coming early because he's getting some sukoon in the masjid. And now he wants to learn something about deen and he's coming to read his Jummah namaz. But you don't know, maybe 2 hours before this, 1 hour before this, he was wheeling in one body in the mortuary, or had to attend to some crime scene or whatever. And now you hitting with a 10-pound hammer here. Yeah. My special Sahib Rahmatullahi also used to say, in my young days, I used to wear my Jina hat, and say, heavy bayans used to give. After that, then you learn to bring little more hikmat in there. So we must always have a soft approach. Hazrat Imam Masrullah Rahmatullahi, he used to say, that haq baat, haq tariqe se, haq ke liye. The one is, what you are saying is haq. The manner in which you're saying it is the correct manner. And the reason for which you're saying it also is the correct niyat. Then it must have an effect. So this applies whether you are making tarbiyat of our children, whether it is with our families, whether it is with our staff, anyone, you know, you speak in a nice manner, explain things in a nice manner, and have the correct niyat that this person is a banda of Allah Ta'ala. Even he is a non-Muslim, but he is Allah's banda. He's Allah's banda. So if I speak to him nicely, Allah Ta'ala will reward me. He is wrong, what he is doing, just between him and Allah Ta'ala. But I must maintain my akhlaq, I must maintain my good. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. I am answerable for my deeds. So continuing with this, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam educated him, and now obviously he would read his namaz with much better quality. So the sidq the Hazrat is talking about, it must be brought into all our actions. When sidq comes in the action, then I'm not just going through the motions. In anything, whether it's umrah, whether it's hajj, whether it's salah, whether it's my zakat, whether it's my roza, whatever. I'm not just going through the motions. I'm doing this action, I want to make Allah Ta'ala happy. Allah Ta'ala must be happy with me. You know, one is, after 10, 15 years of marriage, you know, 20 years of marriage. And one is the early days of marriage. Early days of marriage, the husband wants to impress. Wants to impress. So everything he does differently. He does it very differently. As he gets older now, marriage is old, then he's going through the motions. But with Allah Ta'ala, our relationship, it's a unique relationship. We need Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us. And Allah Ta'ala does so much for us. So much Allah Ta'ala does for us. We just look into our body, how many bounties we are enjoying. How many ni'mas, how many bounties we are enjoying. Look around us and see how many bounties we are enjoying. In the morning you wake up and your eyes you can see. What a ni'mat that is. Then you can get off the bed. What a ni'mat that is. You just open the tap, water is coming out. We can make our wudu, go for our salah. So many bounties we have around us. Hazrat mentioned this incident, that one king, he was sitting with his, few royal courtiers or whatever, and they're looking out now. So just outside the boundary of the castle, the royal garden, one laborer, he came, he opened his, how they tie the food with the cloth. In the old days when our people used to go for picnics, for that time there wasn't so much money, So then they used to cook one pot of food and tie it up with a cloth. Then they'll go and open the pot and everybody would eat. All eat the same thing and everybody would enjoy it. Today's time, each child got one different story. I eat this and I don't eat that, and this one eats this and this one don't eat that. So khair, so he sees this man, he opens that cloth and he takes out a couple of rotis, he eats that rotis, and then he got one container with water, drank that water, and he put his head down there. There's one tree inside the palace yard, but the shade is this side. Put his head down there and he slept there. So the king is looking at him and he's telling them, he said, I can give my whole kingdom for that. Because this king, although he had everything at his disposal, but he had such a bimari, such a sickness he had, that the only thing they used to do is take mince, and they used to lightly cook it, put it in a cloth and squeeze it. The water that comes out, that's what he used to eat. His stomach couldn't digest anything. So, although he had the wealth, but there was no health. There was no health. So a person got health, you can eat something, you can walk, you can talk, you can... So many ni'mats we enjoying. All from Allah Ta'ala. All from Allah Ta'ala. So how much we have to show Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I appreciate your ni'mat. And Ya Allah, I love you. I love you. And I really appreciate. And especially the ni'mat of Iman. You blessed me with Iman. So how are we going to thank Allah Ta'ala? Is everything that we carry out, bring that presence in our heart and mind, that I am doing this for Allah Ta'ala. And then when I do it, I must carry it out in a manner that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased. Allah must be pleased. That Allah Ta'ala, you gave me all this. Whatever I do, I'm going to do it in a way that is pleasing to you. I must make you happy. You must be pleased with me. A person who has got this in him, and I'm doing it for Allah Ta'ala, then automatically many good sifat come into him. If a person is doing it for Allah Ta'ala, now he will be able to tolerate whatever difficulties come in that path. Because I'm doing it for Allah Ta'ala. So if difficulties come, Allah Ta'ala is rewarding me. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. I'm doing it for him. So no problem. Whatever happens, no problem. When that is not there, then we have besabri. We are impatient, we get upset with people, we want to fight, we want to argue. But if we remember that everything is happening by the will of Allah Ta'ala, command of Allah Ta'ala, whatever has come to me, that was written for me. Whatever never come to me, it was not in my taqdeer, it was not going to come to me. A person will not be frustrated. A person's peace will not be shattered. And his ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala will keep increasing, keep getting stronger. He'll get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Marifati ilahi, qurbi ilahi. Allah Ta'ala grants a person his closeness, his love. And then we were reading earlier, the brothers who are here, so we have a small program in the morning, that Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to make dhikr, right? And Allah Ta'ala says that when you make my dhikr, then I remember you in the highest assembly. So when Allah gives us tawfiq to make dhikr, Allah is giving us tawfiq because Allah want to take our name in the highest assembly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. This time here, this, they call it silly season, mad season, whatever season. It's a time businessmen also, they are looking forward to doing some sales. Allah ta'ala give barakat. Chores also are looking out, they can chore. Allah Ta'ala protect, you know, people. Thieves also, because they know money is moving around. So their eyes too are very big and their fingers are very long. So we make dua, Allah Ta'ala protect everybody. But the main thing is we must protect our iman, iman of our children. People go crazy in this time. So many people, in just in this 1 week, 2 weeks, girls have lost their izzat. They've lost their izzat. Because now everybody is in a ghaflat, holiday mode, this, that. They've lost their izzat. People have become addicts. What, you know, people get involved, different things, everybody feels. So we must be very, very careful of ourselves also. And wherever there is guna taking place, stay away. Stay away from there. We know there's certain places, all guna is happening there, wrong is happening. Why must we go there? Why must we go there? If you got no reason to move around, stay at home, right? The best is stay at home. If you got no real reason to move around anyway, stay at home. Bichara Jobok people now, they got no ocean and everything. Now once a year they come, they leave it to them, but then carry on. Make dua, they too don't come. So much of fitna, so much of guna takes place in this time. Allah Ta'ala protect us all. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.